So it's been a long road as we've studied through Psalms. We've seen a lot of things about God. We've seen a lot of things about ourselves. And as we talked about before, when we study through the book of Psalms, we have to look at each psalm in three ways. We first have to look at it in its historical context and who was talking and what he was talking about. And then the second one was how what he is talking about directly connects to where we are, or indirectly connects to where we are. And then ultimately how that psalm points us to Christ. Psalm 73 is no different. And there are things in Psalm 73 that are well known to us because we've heard them. They're what we would call the coffee cup verses or the bumper sticker verses, right? If you look at the end of Psalm 74, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. That's one of those bumper sticker verses, those coffee cup verses that people love to quote, and you should love to quote it, but you don't truly understand it by itself. You need to understand the chapter as a whole to truly grasp what that verse means. So the historical part is going to be very short. This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a seer. He was, from a psalmist perspective, kind of in the same, he is a contemporary of David. We don't know anything about what's led to this, except for what he tells us. So I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to focus on the second part, how this connects to us, because I'm going to walk through where we are today as we go through this chapter. Because I think it fits exactly with what Asaph is telling us. And I'll be honest, with the last 3 weeks in my life and Pam's life, this psalm has jumped off the page. A granddaughter having surgery, going to a funeral last weekend for somebody who I am almost positive was not a believer. And seeing the reactions of the people that were around him, and what breaks my heart of the celebrations of the things that they were celebrating. And then to go to the hospital this weekend with a possible difficult birth. And seeing all these things and reading Psalm 73 yesterday and going, okay, God, I get it. I'm there. I understand. So let's walk through this. And as this is intended to be, it's a meditation on Psalm 73. So I'm going to meditate through this psalm, and I want you just to walk through it with me. Verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel. The word surely can also mean truly. God is truly good to Israel. Well, who is Israel? Look at the rest of the verse. To those who are pure in heart. Even in the Old Testament, God says only true Israel are those who are pure in heart. It doesn't. Jesus himself said, I can raise up descendants of Abraham from these stones. And that's what Gentiles are, stones in our hearts. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Romans 2:28-29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that what is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision was that is what is from the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is from men, not from men, but from God. So the true Israel are those who are pure in heart. And then Asaph says, but for me, my feet almost stumbled. My steps almost slipped. Yeah, the Israel is the pure in heart, but I'm not there. I've struggled. What are you struggling with, Asaph? For I was envious of the boastful. And if you go to the King James, it says the foolish. I was envious of the boastful, the foolish. Remember, we studied Psalms 37. Remember? Psalm 37, three times he says, do not fret because of evildoers. Said three times in Psalm 37. And what's Asaph saying? I was envious of the foolish. I saw the peace of the wicked. There are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. This, the funeral that we went to this past week, there was some tears. A lot more laughter than there was tears. There's no pain in their death. They are not in trouble as other men. They are not stricken along with the rest of mankind. Look around you. Those that we see as the most wicked in our society, there's no trouble that befalls them. Trouble does not follow them. Even in their wickedness, trouble doesn't find them out. We can point to Washington, D.C. as the example of that. Therefore, lofty pride is their necklace. Isn't that the evidence in our society of hubris? What's the LGBTQ cause? Pride. I see this sign as I drive down the street in Landis every day. Pride lives here. That's a necklace. In your version, it may say the chain, but it's not the chains as we think of as chains. It's that chain, that gold necklace that they wear around their neck. They're showing off their pride. The garment of violence covers them. Thinking to this week of in this past couple of weeks of our president and vice president, who's pointing to abortion as the thing that everybody needs to come alongside them and accept. That garment of violence. This is what Asaph is seeing. He's seeing the violent person and the person who is prideful in their disobedience and their arrogance toward God. This is what he's seeing. There's no sadness in the deaths that are happening. He's not seeing anything that they should be getting. And he's wondering. Their eyes bulge from fatness. The delusions. Oh, I have a member of my family who has bought into this transgender, in the words of the verse here, the delusion. The delusion of their heart overflows. Verse 8, they scoff. There's no conversation. There's no argument from a, hey, let's talk about this. They scoff if you disagree with them. And they wickedly speak of oppression. Isn't that what we hear? You will fall in line with what we believe, or this is what's going to happen to you. They speak from on high. Some verses say this a little differently, but I love this because for us in the situation that we're in, how many times has judges that sit above us determine what is right and wrong. And they tell us that good is bad and bad is good. Our president, our governor, the people that sit on the boards in our towns telling us that things are good that are really bad and things that are bad that are really good. Do you see this set of verses from where you are today? They have set their mouth against heaven, as if they are going to go against God. And their tongue goes through all the earth. This belief system and all of these evil things that not only in the United States are being purported, but they're asking other nations to do this. And if you don't, these are the things that we're going to withhold from you. Verse 10, therefore his people return here to his place and waters of fullness are drunk by them. What does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew poetry, if you look through the Old Testament, anytime the Hebrew talks about waters, it's talking about adversity. So the people return. Remember verse 1, surely God is good to Israel. To those who are pure in heart. The people return, and what's God giving them? A flood of adversity that they drink down. Isn't that how you feel right now? In this country that we live in, the difficulties that we constantly see, the difficulties in life that we are facing day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. They say, how does God know? Is there any knowledge with the Most High? Behold, those that say this are wicked, and they're always at ease, having increased in wealth. Lottery has been one of those things that just shows up everywhere. It's on billboards and it's on TV. With the current Powerball, as of last night, was $1.23 billion. And who's always the ones that win it? The vile, the wicked, the people that waste it. The bingo, winning hundreds and thousands of dollars. What about us, Lord? When are we going to get some of that? Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. Lord, I've worked in my heart to do this the right way. And washed my hand in incense. Lord, it's not just my heart, but I'm trying to physically do the right thing. You see Asaph's struggle? He knows in his head, surely God is good to Israel, to those that are pure in heart. And now he's reliving everything that he's going through and the people that are in his society that are just, For I've been stricken all day long and I'm reproved every morning. Lord, you keep chastising me. And here's your hinge verse. And this is hard for me. If I had said, I will recount this. Okay, up to this point, he just thought it. These are things that he's thinking about. These are things that are racing through his mind, that are controlling his thoughts. But if I recount this, if I talk about this, behold, I would have betrayed the generations of your children. Do you hear that? Who are the generations of his children? All those who love and fear God, including those who are weak. So it's one thing to think about these things. It's another thing to standing on the street corner and complaining about these things. The things that go on in your mind have their effect on you. But to say these things and talk about these things and complain about these things out loud to other people when God says that the brother who is weaker, don't cause them to stumble. In your complaining, will you cause somebody else to stumble? When I gave thought to know this, when I pondered this, when I thought about this, it was trouble in my sight. Until. Such an amazing word, because these things are in your heart, they're beating you down, and you think about the fact that if I say this out loud, who am I going to cause to stumble about this? And then I remember. Until I came into the sanctuary of God. What is the sanctuary of God? What is the sanctuary of God? So think about it from this perspective. Okay, Old Testament, let's do the history on this. The original sanctuary was the Garden of Eden. What was the purpose of the sanctuary? To meet with God. To be face to face with God. After the Israelites are taken out of Egypt, what's the sanctuary? The tabernacle. What was the point of the tabernacle? To meet with God. And then Israel creates the temple. What's the point of the temple? To meet with God. Who is our sanctuary? Christ, right? It is only through him that we can meet with God. But he's not here now. No, he's not. So where is our sanctuary today? Right here. This is where he speaks to us. This is where he meets with us. This is where he informs us, as he says right here, then I understood their end. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places, not an accident that he uses the phrase slippery. Remember back to verse 2? My steps almost slipped. But you set them in slippery places. Think about it from this perspective. God has allowed them to build up to the top of the mountain. For what reason? Because they are now in a slippery place. Keep going. And you caused them to fall to destruction. They have become desolate in a moment. And they are completely swept away by terrors. He has allowed them this so that in the judgment it will be obvious you have offended me, says God. And he has allowed us the difficulties today as believers because the lifting up will come in the end for us. Remember, we are, remember back to our study on 1 and 2 Peter. We are aliens and strangers. We are pilgrims. This world is not our home. Like a dream when one awakes, verse 20. Like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their forms. God is not asleep, folks. It's not what this is saying. What this is saying is, think about it. You're asleep on the bed. You wake up and you've had this wonderful dream. And the longer you're awake, the less you remember of that dream. When Christ, when the Lord decides it's time, the good that people have gotten in this world will be just an image of what they had. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, so that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What promise is he long-suffering about? Verse 7, that the fires that are coming for destruction of the ungodly. That's the promise. There are fires coming for the destruction of the ungodly, but God is long-suffering. His compassion is great. He's waiting for you. What you don't understand is if you wait too long, there's no recovery. And when my heart was embittered, here's Asaph again, verse 21. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within. He's talking about what he was just talking about. I had forgotten this stuff. I had forgotten what God has said. Then I was senseless and ignorant. You know, it would be offensive for you and me to call Asaph or David senseless and ignorant. But he calls himself that. I was like an animal before you. Every version I looked at, the word animal is singular. Did you know that the Hebrew is plural? Like all of the animals, I was like an animal before you. Think of the sheep, how dumb sheep are. We're called the sheep, right? He calls us, he's the great shepherd. Shepherds take care of sheep. Sheep are stupid. Lemmings running off a cliff together. We're an animal before him. Nevertheless, in my ignorance, in my stupidity, in my senselessness, in my brutal, brutish behavior of not remembering who you are and what you've done, nevertheless, I am continually with you. This is only for those who have repented. This is only for those who have trusted Christ, who are part of the pure in heart. That even in our weakest and our dumbest moments, God is still with us. You have taken hold of my right hand. I got you. It's okay. He's still there. He's still upholding you, even in your doubt. And with your counsel, you will lead me. The communion with God, it's still there for us. Even in our senselessness and our ignorance and our stupidity and our faithlessness, remember, he will never be faithless. He is always faithful. And afterwards, he'll take me to glory. Now comes verse 25. All of these things that I've worried about, all these things that I've focused on the physical. Did you make the connection? All Asaph focused on that got him all riled up was the physical. Whom have I in heaven but you? Now, before somebody in their arrogance would say, because I would have been this person before, well, my dad's in heaven, and my grandfather's in heaven, and my grandmother's in heaven, and my aunt's in heaven. Yeah, but can you rely on them and trust them to uphold you in those most difficult of times? Who do you have in heaven but God, but Christ? He is our mediator. He is the one who stands before God on our behalf. Without him being there, we have no right to even step foot onto the golden streets in heaven. And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail. Even now, Asaph knows of myself, in my own heart, and in my own deeds, I'm not good enough. But that's okay. But God, and some of your versions may say, the strength of my heart. My version says, but God is the rock of my heart. Of myself, it's pointless, but God is my rock. Psalm 18, verse 2, verse 31, verse 46. God is the rock of my salvation. God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are, hear it, far from you will perish. You have destroyed everyone who is unfaithful to you. Adultery. Idolatry, unfaithfulness. Didn't that sound like Asaph just a couple of minutes ago? But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Some versions would say you come near to God. But did you know that if you draw near to God, he draws near to you? James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I have set Lord Yahweh. There's that covenant name again, right? He is my covenant keeper. He takes care of me. I have set Lord Yahweh as my refuge. With all the things that are going on, with all the difficulties in your family, with all the struggles in your job, with the society going down the tubes in a dumpster fire, God is your refuge. That I may encourage, recount all of your blessings, all of your works. I hope this encourages you, because it sure did me. All the struggles that we've had over the last couple of weeks, to know that even through all of this and in my doubt and in my struggle, that God is still my refuge. I hope you see him as your refuge. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our refuge. Thank you for being our rock and our portion, even when our hearts, left to themselves, will always lead us in the wrong direction. We focus on the physical and not remember that you are the sovereign God on the throne who is in charge of all that happens because you desire our good and your own glory. Help us to walk this week looking at the chaos around us with the reminder every minute, it doesn't matter, you are my refuge. You are the rock of my heart and my portion forever. In Jesus' name, amen.